to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are talking about toxic love this morning. The question that's on the table for just a few more moments, and I do mean moments, is what are some of the addictions that can plague a marriage? We want to get at least one more answer to that before we switch topics, or not topics, but before we switch focus questions. So let's go right to Sharon out of Burlington, New Jersey. Sharon, good morning. You're live on the air. Sharon, you are live on the air, so we need you not to listen to your radio, but listen to your telephone right now. We are speaking with you right now. Sharon, hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Awesome. Before,
your topic about toxic love.
Yes.
It is idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
What I know from my experience is that God loves me, and he's very jealous over me.
Mm-hmm.
I was in an abusive marriage. We were Christians, going to church. The bills were being paid. One day I said, God, do you see what's going on? He said, yeah, I see what's going on. I said, why don't you do something? And he said, well, why don't you do something? I said, what? He said, you're in my way. Get out of my way. I said, well, what about, you know, my husband? He said, you take care of your kids, I'll take care of mine.
Mm.
At the time, I was pregnant. And I had three young children, so now I have four children. But God gave me the strength. He delivered me from that situation because he loves me. And he told me, I don't have to save your marriage to prove that I love you. I love you. That's it.
All right. And Sharon, we want to ask, so what are some of the addictions that can plague a marriage?
You can be addicted to an addicted person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what else comes to
that? And that is idolatry.
Yeah. All right. All right. We want to give Paul and Kenita an opportunity to respond to that. And we thank you, Sharon, for your phone call. And we thank you for listening this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that it's almost like someone who actually becomes addictive to an addictive person, they allow themselves to fall prey. It's almost like the person that loves drama,
mm-hmm.
they just follow the drama.
Mm-hmm.
There's sometimes they just can't be a person who wants peace.
Yeah.
And I want to have my father-in-law share it just in regards to what he's gone through and to help answer that question.
Yes, I found that when I stopped using drugs and alcohol and God said peace in my life, it was a feeling that I wasn't accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was used to chaos, things always going on. And I found that sometimes I became addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've come to understand that anything that my thoughts are concentrated on that keeps me away from the Word of God is an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at times, you know, we can become addicted mm-hmm. to toxic relationships.
Yeah, I too just want to share. You know, many women know what it is to struggle with our weight. And I think a lot of us know that feeling when you're trying to make that change. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not sitting here stuffing my face, so what do I do with myself? Or, you know, I'm not sitting here sleeping, or I'm not out shopping. And, you know, those are addictions that affect marriages because they affect, you know, your finances, obviously, if you're a shopaholic or if you're a gambler. But also it affects your ability to live life because that idol is eating up all of your praise for God, all of the, you know, energy you would have to give to your friends and family. You don't go to events because you feel bad about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're insecure. You're snappy and mean at people because you expect them to be judgmental towards you. And so, you know, just keeping it real as we talk about what are some addictions that can plague marriages, I think a very common one is, you know, overeating, oversleeping, and overspending. Those are some of the most rampant ones. I mean, our whole economy is sunk because as a nation, we are addicted to consumption. And greed is idolatry. So I appreciate the last caller sharing that.
Absolutely. All right. We want to switch questions for the audience right now. We want you to respond to this one, which is, what are the signs that a spouse may have an addiction problem? Let's start with Paul and Kenita first. What do you say?
I think one of the signs of someone having an addiction problem is you start seeing a weirdness in their character mm-hmm. and their behavior. Mm-hmm. They're late to things all the time. Mm-hmm. They're falling into lies and traps in their lives. Mm-hmm. You start seeing a lot of the dishonesty. Mm-hmm. And there's a change in the routine that you're accustomed to. A drastic change.
Okay.
That's one way you can tell there's a sign that your spouse mm-hmm. may have an addiction.
Okay.
Well, another way, too, is when self-centeredness really flares up. You know, everything is concerned about them. You know, addiction, a lot of times, we're so just obsessed with ourselves, what we want. And we don't feel the effects that addiction has on other people that love us and care about us. Mm-hmm. You know, so the moment, you know, and that's one of the ways that you can tell when someone is becoming real self-centered and everything is about them, mm-hmm. you know, that's one of the ways that you can tell.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. All right. Kenita, anything?
Yeah, I think, you know, withdrawn, oftentimes not available to be at family events, not able to make time for, like my dad was saying, you know, just that self-centeredness. But I think it plays out in missing events, always having an excuse for why you have to leave mm-hmm. and can't be around. I know those are some that I've seen in mm-hmm. families that are very functional, quote unquote, mm-hmm. but there's a spouse that's never emotionally available
right.
because their every extra moment is dedicated to that idol.
Now, I would say, and I know, Paul, I know you have something you want to say. A lot of what you all are saying also sounds like it could easily be something else. It could easily mm-hmm. be depression. It could easily be
Amen.
An illness.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you really discern that, all right, you know, what we don't want to do is send alarms like, oh, my goodness, my husband, my wife
right.
is doing these things. They must have an addiction problem when they really could be depressed or it could be a health issue that they're unaware of. How can you really discern between those?
That's a great point. I think, and you know, this is one point of view, talk about it. Because the biggest thing that breeds addiction in families that allows it is everyone makes excuses. Mm-hmm. Because, and that's what I was sharing with the first caller, addiction is the whole family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it starts with, oh, he's just da-da-da, or mm-hmm. oh, she's just. And so the first thing to distinguish what the cause of these activities are
okay.
is to talk about it. And it may sound oversimplified, but you'd be amazed how few people are willing to say, hey, I noticed,
right?
You know, what's happening.
What's up?
You know what I mean? That's the first step.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just got to talk and not be afraid to confront your spouse and ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you blank?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing this? Because this is what I see.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm feeling. This is how you're making me feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm noticing changes in you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And so these questions in the marriage must be asked. And you can't be afraid.
Specifically.
Specific
questions. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Let's hear from you, the listening audience. Our question on the table right now is, what are the signs that a spouse may have an addiction problem? Please make sure you answer the question. You can feel free to ask any questions you like, but we would like for you to first answer the question that is on the table, which is, what are the signs that a spouse may have an addiction problem? 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Let's go to Sharon, who has been, I'm sorry, Cynthia. Let's go to Cynthia, who's been waiting for quite some time. And we appreciate your phone call. Sharon, I'm Cynthia. I keep saying Sharon. I'm sorry. We just spoke with Sharon. Cynthia, you are live on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a concern. I've been married.
Okay, I'm sorry, Sharon. Cynthia, you know what? I'm going to just cross Sharon's name off because I keep going back to Sharon. I'm sorry. Cynthia is on the line from Philadelphia. Cynthia, can you answer the question for us first before you express your concern? What are the signs that a spouse may have an addiction problem?
I'm lying.
Mm-hmm.
Lying, when they, and that's one of the signs when you see stuff and they deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And what more? You said you had a concern.
Yeah, that was part of the concern. I've been married over 20-something years, and during my, like, 17th year, I had discovered something from my husband's past that's disturbing me right now in our marriage, and I found out that he was cheating on me from his past, but it's something that's in his past that got him treating me a certain way, mm-hmm. and it's different kind of abuses in the marriage. And I see he do verbal abuse and mental abuse with me. And I told him that I needed affirmation that he really loved me and not the other person, because there's something in his past that's still there that I told him I need affirmation that he really truly loved me by going there with the other person, by confirming my beliefs and suspicion. And one of the beliefs and suspicions that I have, I believe that he have a child from this previous relationship that he's denying. But I don't have no proof of it, and I asked him to prove to me that what I'm accusing him of is wrong. And I told him, you know, if he wants this marriage to work, he has to be open and honest with me so that we could talk about things. Mm-hmm. And he also did mention that he do want to go to church. But then when we talk about the situation, he calls me out of my name, and that gives me an indication that something's still there in his past that's not unresolved. And my problem and concern is I have grown bitter. I have resentment towards him. I have hatred in my heart for him, but we still married and together. And I told him that I needed proof that he loves me and there's nothing, like no love child or nothing from his past, so that we could work through all the other stuff. I could get over the cheating and everything else. But if it's something like other than that, it would be a longer and hard time for me to get over. And I told him that we could pray on it and talk about it, and then he still just is, when it comes to this other female, his whole personality and attitude changed.
Okay, so hold on one second, Cynthia. We want to get a response to you.
Cynthia, it comes to mind, listening to your story, about when Jesus came back after the resurrection and he was amongst his people, and they didn't know who he was until after he said what he said about breaking the bread. And what reminds me of is that in your relationship, you'll notice the things that he does. Mm. You know what I mean? You don't have to ask him. You know, God will reveal, you know what I mean, anything that we need to know. You know, and one thing that you said I think is very helpful is that a family that prays together truly stays together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anybody else? Response to Cynthia.
Yes. Also, I've been reading books that's helping me. Is about a book about fear, getting over fear and anxiety and worry. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the name of the author, but it's a biblical book, and that's been helping me, but I'm still struggling with how to go through that. Like he said, God will reveal things to you, and that's what's said also in the book that said, be patient, don't go chase after hidden secrets and stuff. God will reveal things to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's helping me, and there's another book, Women Thou Art Loose. Those books is helping me, but I'm still struggling with how to deal with the situation. And like he said, with things that he does, my husband is a very good husband. He to a certain extent to me. Everybody see the things on the outside, but they don't know what's going on the inside between me and him.
All right, hold on, Cynthia. Kenita would like to read something to you.
Cynthia, I thought of the scripture. It's 1 Peter 3, if you want to write it, starting in verse 1. It says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. It goes on, but at the end it says, it goes on to say, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. And it's so true. So much of the conflict that we feel and how to respond to the ways in which we're being sinned against in a marriage or trusting God is in the midst of the marriage is generated by fear. And so that's a scripture that's helped me when I just don't understand why I'm reacting, or I don't understand why I'm being put through a certain test. I have to look at it, where's my fear level, because that oftentimes talks louder to me than my faith level. So I just wanted to share that as you are addressing fear in your own life.
And I also wanted to address something, because you had mentioned how you were feeling towards your husband. Yes. The hatred, you don't like him right now, but you love him. And I wanted to read Hosea 3, verse 1, because I feel like it's appropriate. It says, "The Lord said to me, 'Go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes.'" This is amazing, because God is instructing and telling Hosea to love your wife, even though you know she's adulterous. And I want you to love her the way that I love Israel, because Israel at that time was an adulterous nation. And I want you to feel what I feel. I want you to go through what I go through, so that you know how to actually love the way I love. Mm-hmm. And that's my challenge for you, is not to hold on to the hatred and to the bitterness and the anger, but to let it go and to love the way God loves you. God loves you unconditionally. God's patient with you. God cares about you. He's compassionate towards you. And that's, you've been created by God to love, not to hate.
Yeah, I understand. And also, God said, trust no man, trust him.
Exactly.
And I think that's the problem I had, was too trusting with my husband and believing in him.
That's right.
And think that he would do the things that I thought he would do in the marriage. And to me, the concern I'm just, that's still heavy on my heart, is if he loved me and not the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And I question the sincerity of our marriage. We have children, and my problem is I don't know if I still want to be married, because I'm not sure what's really in his heart, my husband's heart.
Mm-hmm. Are there people in your life, Cynthia? Do you have a spiritual home where you can get counseling and
I have an aunt. She's helping me. She's in the church and stuff, and she's talking to me.
But what about your husband, like, to help you as a family?
Well, we've been to counseling. Mm-hmm. And okay. To me, I got the impression, they got the same impression, that he's not telling the whole truth.
Well, Cynthia, we want to wish you all the best. Stay in prayer on it. Continue to listen to the program today. You may find more inspiration on this topic. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Let's go to Karen calling in from Norristown, PA. Karen, good morning. You're live on the air.
Okay.
Hi, Karen. Before you get into your topic, we want to ask this question of you. What are the signs that a spouse may have an addiction problem?
Okay, the signs that a spouse may have could be, spilling things or staying out late, mm-hmm. Taking money out of the account and not accounting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of different signs, but the media, because of the media we have now, you know, everyone knows what the signs are of drugs, addiction to money, fame, self, and power. But what I'm really wanted to make a comment on was to the young women in the church. I'm 52 years old, and when I started out wanting to have a husband and be married and all that stuff, we didn't have as much media as we had things that could help us to understand, you know, relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would like to say to the young women, first get your education. Get your education, you know. And the bottom line is, you know, while you're 18 through 30, you need to be running to the church. You need to be there every time the door is open. Mm-hmm. You need to be with your pastor, be in services, and pray and read your Bible. Because if you get the Holy Spirit deep in your soul, okay, mm-hmm. deep in your soul as a young woman, mm-hmm. God is going to order your footsteps. When His Spirit says go left, you're going to go left. When His Spirit says go right, it's not going to be a decision. You're going to know that this is the man for you. You know, a lot of young women today, you know, the devil is seeking to kill and destroy. That's
Amen.
It. And like the one lady called earlier, and she said that she was a Christian and married someone who had an addiction. It can happen, because it happened to me. And I almost got killed also, because Christian women, we are more forgiving. We are more loving. So a man who has an addiction can hide it from us because we feel like, you know, well, we can help him if that happens. But what I'm saying to the young women, you know, find a man in your life that loves God, has a job, a car, an education, no criminal record. I know that's like, you know, well, you can't really sit up there and judge people. But I'm just saying if you can, you know, God wants us to have the best. We have to step it up, you know, and, you know, date for a year at least, you know, praying constantly, no sex. And if he can go for all of that, he might be the one. But even with that, because the man I had, we didn't have sex for the whole year we were dating, and I'd done all these things, and he still turned out to have an addiction. He hid it from me for a whole year. And then after we were married, he stopped coming in, you know, late, and money's missing. And I was in shock. I was totally in shock when I found out he was on crack. I couldn't believe it. And he had an education. But even with that, the bottom line is the Holy Spirit must be in us as women and as men, because that's the only way we're going to, our footsteps are going to be ordered by the Lord. And the only way the Holy Spirit can get in you and dwell in you and move you to make right decisions in your life is when you try to live holy. You can't just pick a man and then say, okay, God, you know, fix him.
All right.
I wasted over 40-some years of my life.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm not trying to get married again. You know, I'm happy. I'm at peace with God. These are not tears of sadness. These are of joy because my steps are ordered by the Lord, but I had to go through all of that to get to this point. But as young women, you can get to that point early in your life.
Yeah.
If you pray, you get your education. So if he does walk out on you or try to abuse you, you have a job. Don't settle for these men who are on these drugs.
Yes.
Say no to drugs.
Karen, I know you
have a criminal background on these potential boyfriends who come to church.
Karen, I know you are definitely filled with the Spirit right now. You are very passionate about what you're saying. Unfortunately, we have to cut you there just because we need to get to some of the other callers. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for calling in, sharing your story. And we hope you continue to listen to the program for the remainder of the morning. All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Bye.
All right. Have a great day. Let's go to Lorraine, who is calling in from Philadelphia. Lorraine, tell us, what are the signs that a spouse may have an addiction problem? Lorraine? Is Lorraine there? I don't know if we still have Lorraine or not.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Lorraine. What are the signs that a spouse may have an addiction problem?
Well, there's a lot, and it can be so very obvious. You know, they're not talking, you know. The other ones, not just the addiction for drugs, but the addiction to the other things. Sex and gambling and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Lorraine, you're breaking up a little bit. I don't know where you are with your cell phone, but if you can get to a solid place, because your signal is breaking up. So what would you say some of the signs of addiction to, say, sex or gambling? What are some of those signs?
You know, the breaking off as far as the lack of communication, that's really the main one, I believe. You know, all of a sudden, you know, there's no communication there, you know, and I believe that's the basic, the big one. Mm-hmm. The change in the behavior, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. All right. And what else did you call to say to us this morning? Did you have a question or another comment?
All of a sudden, they're acting differently. You know, no, one of my main comments was, because I held on the phone for a pretty good time now, was that one of the things, you know, the main thing is that change in behavior. And one of the things as far as the things that can destroy a marriage as far as addiction is concerned, when one party is not willing to do the work. You know, you can know about it, he can know about it, she can know about it, because I'm hearing a lot of women talking about the men, but what about the men talking about the women? They both can be plagued with these addictions that can destroy their marriage when the parties are not both willing to do the necessary work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know.
Let's have Paul respond to you.
That's very interesting, because not one man is called in today.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Where you at, man?
And so by you making that statement, it makes me think that there's men out there that are hiding their addictions, and they don't want to come clean. Right. And so you're right. Changes in behavior. The man shuts down, lack of communication. Something's going on inside his brain, and he needs to come clean. So I appreciate you sharing.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you this morning. All right. Thank you so much. I guess we lost her. She was having some trouble with the cell phone. As we turn the page, we're about to take another break and come back with the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. I want to leave you with this question. I want you to think about it. And this is what we will be talking about for the remainder of today's program. What does it take to stay in a marriage where one or more spouses have an addiction problem? What's it going to take? What do you say? 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. If you're already on hold, we'll be right with you. We'll be right back with the final segment after this.
Back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. We are wrapping up our discussion today on Toxic Love. Please give us a call with your comments on our final question, which is, what does it take to stay in a marriage where one or more spouses have an addiction problem? 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Let's go right back to the phones. We have an anonymous caller on the line from North Carolina. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, hi. What is your response to our question? What does it take to stay in a marriage where one or more spouses has an addiction problem?
I would say being unstable and being selfish.
You said that's what it takes to...
you said what it takes.
What does it take to stay in a marriage where one or more spouses has an addiction problem?
You know, stay in prayer and just stay close to the Lord. And just keep him, lift him up in prayer consistently, constantly. And don't argue with him. Just be patient.
Okay.
And let God work it out.
Good stuff. And what else did you have on your mind this morning?
I was concerned about the addiction of, like you talked about idolatry, with the attitudes and with the personalities. Mm-hmm. Also, it comes with fear, and he has low self-esteem, and he's not sure about what he wants to do. And he's more concerned about himself. We were married like a year ago, and right after we got married, he just said that he couldn't do it anymore. So I have been going through for almost a year now, but I'm learning to just give it to the Lord and to trust in the Lord. And
amen.
He just brought a peace over me that I know that I have to just give it to him and stay close to him and remain in his word consistently.
Mm.
So basically that's what I've been doing. And I listened to the gentleman when he talked about a true man of God. He will follow what God wants and what he teaches. He'll follow his word.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband is involved in ministry, but he does have some insecurities. And because he admitted to me that he was afraid to go through this marriage thing again. But I'm learning to just trust in God and just to give it to the Lord.
Mm. All right. Good stuff. Thank you so much for calling in. Paul, Kenita, do you have anything you would like to say to our caller?
Yes. I would try and see if he can identify what his fear is. It's one thing to say I'm afraid of the marriage, but there's something specific that he's afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important that he can identify what that fear is. Mm-hmm. Even my own marriage, before I was married and even now married, I still have insecurities. My biggest insecurity and fear before getting married for me was, am I going to be able to live up to the expectations that my wife has for me as a married man? And can I really be the husband that she needs? And so that was a big fear for me. And I think now the insecurity is, can I sustain the change that is needed to be the husband that my wife needs me to be? And a lot of times what I'll do is I have a very addictive personality and addictive spirit, which I'm trying to deal with now. And so whenever I feel like I'm insecure or my self-esteem is low, you know, I'll play PlayStation all day, or I'll just shut down, or I'll give in to the impurity and the lust of my mind and my heart and those things. And I can see myself getting attached to that. So you need to find out the specifics of what he's afraid of, because if you can't nail the specifics, he's not going to be able to deal with what's going on in his heart.
Amen.
Yeah, may I also add that just one thing, that fear is a lack of faith. Mm-hmm. When you come to, and you say he's in the ministry, you know, when you come into the Word, you know, you have to believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I had to believe that God was going to take those cigarettes away, that he was going to take those drugs away, because it doesn't work without belief. So the main thing I just want to hold on to, and this for me too, is that fear is a lack of faith.
Amen.
Right. Good stuff. Let's go to El Tora calling in from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Good morning. You're live on the air. Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. Can you answer the question for us? What does it take to stay in a marriage where one or more spouses has an addiction problem?
You know, I think that what happens is, with the quality of a marriage, you just seek God, you stay into the Word, you intensify it in your life, because like it's so many different times that in my marriage, I just want to walk out. I just want to go away. I just want to do it on my own. And then it's so many times that I also flip back and say to myself, but I weigh out the pros and the cons. How fortunate I am to have him for so many different things, but how the addiction is that he's a lover of himself, a lover of his business, and he doesn't see that business is not the acquired thing, but family is the acquired thing. And
amen.
even though he has good intentions by saying that he's doing all these things for his family, he says one thing, but his actions speak another way.
Amen.
You know, so like sometimes when I say different things to him, and particularly this moment at this time, my mother had felt really sick. And I kind of just was saying to him that I needed him to be more around, to be more here, to be more supportive in this situation. But he feels as though, because we have four sons, that he has to constantly, just continuously work, because he's not really satisfied with himself. But what happens
Amen.
Is... Right, but what happens is, within that quality, you're average to the company that you keep, meaning that you have great intentions, but the people that you labelize yourself with don't have the same intentions. So it's like a plus, a minus, but still equal minus in that same circumstance. But I think what really happens is that when you get satisfied with God, when you get satisfied with the Word, when you get satisfied with just being blessed about just the things that you have, not the things that you don't have, not the things that you want to get, but just comfortable with what you have, you're satisfied in life, because you're satisfied within the Word, you're satisfied with God, and you know that if God loves you and you love God, there's no expectations of where you may or may not end up at. But the thing is you don't worry about it. You just go on knowing that God has good intentions for you, and you live upon that.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for your phone call. We really appreciate you. And we have a Kanita who wants to say something.
Just really quickly, this is actually my memory scripture for the week. It's 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is of great gain. And it sounds like that's what, you know, your husband is needing to learn, that the contentment that comes from godliness is great gain. And so I was just excited that I heard something that applied to my memory scripture. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and have an awesome day.
You too.
All right. Let's go to Joan calling in from Willingboro, New Jersey. Joan, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Joan, let's answer this question first. What does it take to stay in a marriage where one or more spouses has an addiction problem?
Well, first, I believe that you have to have God, because without him, we can do nothing. And for myself, I believe that with noticing that a person within a marriage is in an addiction, the first thing to look for is the person is always accusatory and always on the defense, because as long as you remain on the defense, it always gives you a reason to leave the house or to be somewhere where you can babysit or, you know, keep your addiction. Because for me, my vice was alcohol, and I had like extreme mood swings, and it was one day I wanted to get up and just cook up all this food and do the whole family thing, but if I couldn't get to the alcohol, my mood was completely different. It was like I was looking for a reason to get into an argument or something like that, something that would give me the access to getting to that vice. So I think that, like, extreme mood swings and stuff like that, anything that'll draw you away from what used to be important in your marriage and let you get to whatever that addiction is, because I kind of manipulated my husband and incorporated him in my addiction, like, oh, you came in late, or you did this, or it could even be, why did you turn on the hot water while I was rinsing out a glass? You know, I need to go for a drive. I need some peace, but I just needed to get to that next drink. Mm. So it was everybody's fault except for my own.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the honesty.
Yeah. That's great.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for that. We do appreciate your phone call, and we thank you. We thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day.
You do the same.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Karen calling in from Philadelphia. Kareen, I'm sorry. Yes. Let's go to Kareen calling in from Philadelphia, PA. Kareen, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. What's your answer to this question? What does it take to stay in a marriage where one or more spouses has an addiction problem?
I agree. When the lady read the quote from First Peter's, I believe it was, mm-hmm. earlier on in the show, in regards to being submissive, trying to remain humble, and also just seeking for the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the last part to that would be sacrifice as well.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. All right. What else did you call to say this morning?
Basically, I would say that I was the person who was on the other end as far as it was two of us in a relationship who was, I would say, addicted to something. Mm-hmm. And as they said, fear was my husband's main addiction in reference to becoming married, and once married, still having the same and exact fear that he had prior to getting married. So as far as our situation emotionally, I had a complete emotional addiction. And I would say where he lacked in every area of supporting me emotionally, I would seek it in a different area. So at the time, the cheating, particularly finding someone who I thought at the time was, oh, very much catering to my emotional needs while leaving, you know, my husband behind with whatever mess that he was going through at the time. But just as a example for Miss Cynthia and a testimony who called in earlier today, people that are going through the same situation, from my own personal experience, when I went to my pastor and my bishop, because I was not attending church regularly when the cheating was going on, when my family was falling apart and I was losing everything. Mm-hmm. So that experience took me to falling on my knees, on my face, crawling into that church to ask for God's help. And I didn't know where to begin, but that's where I began. So the pastor told me, well, what you need to first start doing, obviously while being delivered from the situation and attending services regularly and reading my Bible and just seeking for the presence of God, he said, why don't you humble yourself? Stop looking through the phone. Stop looking through the computers. And just, even if your husband makes you mad and you get into that mood swing, you want to say something and you think that he's doing something, say nothing. He said, just tell God I trust you and just start seeking for him. And I did that, put that into effect. When I say before my own eyes, I couldn't believe my husband wanted to know, well, what happened to you? Mm-hmm. So he started to see in me God, and he started to follow after me. Well, I want to go to the church she's going to. I want to start reading my Bible. You know, what is it that she has that I'm lacking? So that put us on the same playing level. And then ultimately the sacrifice, my personal sacrifice to God. I took my wedding dance from when I was cheating and all the other craziness that was going on in my marriage. And I said, you know what, God? I said, this wedding band, even though I wanted it so much and it's so beautiful and he paid so much money for it, I sacrifice this to you, and I wrote a personal sacrificial offering request, and I asked God to completely change my entire marriage so that my husband can support me emotionally, so that I can be the wife who he needs, so the cheating can stop, so that we can just have a united family and love one another. And when I say God moved in my life, it's been technically almost 2 years, and my marriage is completely restored. No issues whatsoever as far as the foolishness that we were dealing with, and we both seek God's presence together. We go to church, praise the Lord, together every Sunday. My husband has become a man of God. He's become baptized. And all of this is because I did what? I stood still, and I waited on God's promise, and I talked to him only and trusted in him.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
People think it's impossible, but honestly, we serve a God that is totally, you know, able to do all things, even though we don't want to believe it while we're going through.
Awesome. We thank you so much for your phone call this morning. We really appreciate you.
Excellent.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Mike and Natalie calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Can you first answer the question for me? What does it take to stay in a marriage where one or more spouses has an addiction problem?
Well, what it takes for me and my husband's experience to stay in a marriage is, for one, you got to replace your fear with the fear of the Lord, because fear is not given from God.
Amen.
And then after you replace what your fear is and replace it with the fear of the Lord, you have to shame the devil and speak the truth.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't hear anybody talk about what Satan tries to do. Okay, he'll play games with your mind. You know, it's a mindset. Oh, well, if you do this, then I'm going to tell him that. Listen, shame that devil and speak the truth. And once you and your husband know the truth, and I'm not talking about saying things to hurt each other's feelings like that. What I'm saying is, you be truthful about what's going on in your personal life, because, see, we're married, but we still have our personal selves, our own selves to deal with outside of our marriage. So until you can deal with yourself, how can you have peace in a marriage?
Amen.
So you have to start to deal with yourself and be truthful and shame that devil, so it won't be no games played in your mind with, oh, I can't tell her this because this might happen. Leave that fear. That's given from the enemy, fear.
Absolutely.
Okay? So you got to turn that and transfer that power into truthfulness, because God said, I am the truth and the light. Mm-hmm. I'm the way, the truth, and the light. So unless you could get into his truth and fear him opposed to your fears, you can start to work your marriage out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your phone call. We thank you so much for your feedback and all today. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You're awesome. Bye-bye. Well, we're getting close to the end of the program. Wanted to give you guys an opportunity to wrap things up with final thoughts and scripture messages you want people to walk away with for today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some practicals. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I really believe that that openness and that vulnerability is the beginning steps of healing your marriage. And then another scripture I wanted to read was in Hosea 10:12. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up the unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. And I really believe that whether one spouse has an addiction or the other, it is important to get the unplowed ground broken up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is time to pray together, read together, fight together to really see the marriage flourish.
Right.
And I really believe if you work together, it's going to work. And ultimately, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about how love is patient, love is kind,
mm-hmm.
does not envy, it does not boast, it always protects, it always perseveres. Love is essential. And having compassion on the spouse that has an addiction
mm-hmm.
is important for the spouse who doesn't have the addiction.
Right.
And for the spouse that has the addiction,
right.
they must deal with their addiction and do whatever they need to do so that they can be the spouse to meet the needs of that other spouse in that marriage.
All right, awesome. Final thoughts.
Yes. What I want to just say is that for marriage is really, you know, we have to be honest with each other. And it brings to mind for me, I'm a member of a 12-step program, and the fifth step talks about admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And it talks about, it refers to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, which says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our welfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ."
Amen.
Amen.
Kenita.
I just want to give people, spiritualriver.com was a helpful webpage. And, you know, there's so much out there. But I think it's another book that's very good is called Addictions, A Banquet in the Grave. Mm-hmm. Finding Hope in the Power of the Gospel by Edward Welch. This has been a great book. And one of, you know, there are many steps and you can get them everywhere. But one of the first ones usually always is to understand the addiction in order to help the addict. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like that is because as you understand the addiction, you get to unfold what your role is. And that's all we can all be accountable to is what we're doing. And God will do the rest. And so I know there are a lot of people hurting out there that we may not have heard from. And just want to encourage them that, you know, my father and I are here and we've had, you know, I've suffered from his addictions and have had to overcome my own. But if you trust in God and you just respond to what you know, as I did, that God will work it out. And thankfully, you know, I'm here with my dad and we're able to share these things, which we just hope really help someone else make it through their rough stop.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Briefly, before we close, I wanted to ask you all for your help. I've actually, Oprah is doing this contest. Mm-hmm. She's looking for the next TV star, and yeah. She wants to give someone their own talk show. Mm-hmm. So I've put together an audition tape, and if you could vote for me, that would be awesome. You can look for it at Oprah.com. Okay. And follow the your own show icon. Mm-hmm. Type in my first name, which is Tiffany, and then you can vote. So I'd appreciate that. Look forward to seeing you next week. Much love going out to Big Mike, the producer in Charlotte. You do an awesome job. Thank
Mike,
you for that.
Mike.
And to Kyle, who is our producer here in Philadelphia. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.